This copyrighted audio file from the writings of David S. Lample is offered free of charge to the glory of God the Father and the praise of Jesus Christ our Lord. Detailed copyright and resource information is included at the end of this file.
Some of the things I have written over the last 36 years have morphed from one format into others. And the piece I would like to read to you in this session, in this special Christmas session, passed through several. They Need a Savior began as a musical with drama and choir. It was later expanded and turned into a straight play. Several years later, I expanded it further and made it into a printed narrative or story, published as a booklet. I believe I even sent it out as our Christmas card one year. In its present form, it covers both Christmas and Easter in 6 chapters, and of course is available at my website in the booklets section. For this session, I would like to read to you the first 3 chapters, which are pertinent to Christmas. Now understand, please understand, this story is a fable. Please don't be raising your hand to correct every tiny theological and doctrinal point. Similar to Jesus' parables, it is not intended for every minuscule detail to hold up under strict scrutiny, but is offered as just another, a rather fanciful way to express and illustrate the gospel. This is a fable. They Need a Savior, the story of Harry the Angel. Chapter 1. Someone They Can Touch. Harry, Angel 4R, that is, fourth rung, moved closer to the odd structure standing curiously weighted amid the diaphanous splendor of heaven. It seemed to have grown up like an ugly block-shaped mushroom out of the vaporous terra of the heavenlies. The cube appeared as a gross uncleanness within the pristine dimensions of God's domain, with textures and unpleasant colors foreign to its inhabitants. "Why, it's so ugly it hurts the eyes," Harry thought. "They must have told me wrong. How could the sun possibly be in that thing?" He moved closer, his curiosity overpowering the revulsion that filled him at the ugly sight. Harry peered around one of the cube's corners. The second side looked exactly like the first. He crept ahead, carefully staying clear of the cube's surface, fearful that contact with the coarse material might inflict damage to his person. Reaching the end, he craned his head around the next corner. This side was much the same, except that it contained a rectangular irregularity in its middle. A seam ran straight up to a point just above Harry's head, angled sharply right, where it met up with another seam running straight down to the cube's base. Near one of the vertical seams, a loop of hemp rope protruded from the cube. "How does one enter such a beastly thing?" Harry wondered. "Knock on the door, Harry," came the reply into his head. "What?" "Make a fist and wrap your knuckles against the door, just above the rope." Harry clenched his fingers into a tight ball and struck his knuckles against the rough wood. Knock. Ow! Knock. Ow! Knock. Ow! "Come in." Harry stood staring at the wall. He stared at the seams that formed a rectangle. He stared at the hank of rope. "How?" he screamed into the space between his ears. "Pull the rope." Harry yanked down on the loop of rope. The rectangle shifted, but failed to open. "Pull the rope toward you, Harry." He grasped the rope firmly in his hand and yanked it straight out toward him. Suddenly, the door flew open, sending Harry careening backwards, leaving him sprawled in a tangled heap. "Well, hello, Harry. Good to see you." The sun reached down and set Harry back onto his feet. "You know me, God?" The sun smiled warmly. "Of course I do. Now, what can I do for you?" "What is this thing?" Harry asked, studying the curious structure. "Is it a new kind of throne?" No, it's a house. A mud brick house that people live in down on Earth. And this is how one comes and goes from inside." He swung the wooden door on its hinges. "Come on inside, Harry. It's rather cozy." Harry followed the sun into the structure. "More like confined," he suggested. Inside, it was dark. Smelled of clay and damp straw. And the four walls and low ceiling seemed to move in on the angel, leaving him feeling uneasy and more than a little claustrophobic. He sucked in his breath as if air were in short supply. The sun laughed and moved about the room, testing its dimensions. I think one could get used to it. "Now, Harry, what's on your mind?" The angel had never before been so close to God. Only one among countless millions, he had always been lost in the crowd of those offering praise and worship to the throne. He knew that the upper echelon, the splendid archangels, was almost constantly in the presence of God. But those of his stripe were seldom so close to the throne and the magnificent presence. Now here he was, granted a private audience with the sun. And without warning, his tongue became a leaden obstacle to expressing his thoughts. But he pushed back the powerful feelings of inferiority, feelings that even he realized were created solely in his own mind, and pressed ahead with the purpose of his visit. Well, God, I've heard a rumor. A rumor about you, and I thought I'd check it out for myself," Harry exhaled, relieved to have finally gotten it out. "A rumor, huh? This can't be good. What have I done now?" "Oh, no," Harry cried, horrified that the sun would think such a thing. No, nothing like that, God. You see, listen, Harry." The sun calmly reassured the angel with a warm hand on his shoulder. "Pretty soon I'm going to be taking a new name, a human name. Why don't you help me get accustomed to it by using it now?" Sure, I could do that." "Good. The name's Jesus." Harry rolled the unfamiliar word around in his mind, sampling the flavor of it, mentally affixing the name to the sun. Jesus. "Well, that shouldn't be so hard. Jesus, yes." He grinned up at the sun, feeling his earlier nervousness slip away with every moment spent in the presence. "Well, God, sorry, Jesus, I've heard others talking about you going down to Earth for a while, and suddenly a light went off in Harry's brain. "Of course! The new name, the curious structure in which they now stood, these were in preparation for the sun's visit." Harry was slow, he knew. He wasn't still on the fourth rung after all his centuries for nothing. But sooner or later he was able to put the pieces together. "Then of course," Harry blurted out, "it must be true. Why else would you need a human name?" Jesus grinned at the angel. He winked and said, "Harry, don't ever let them sell you short. You're right on the ball." "Then it's true?" Jesus nodded. "That's why I made this house, so I could get used to living as humans do, to experience the sights and smells and sounds of their existence." But Jesus, you've never done anything like this before. Sure I have. A few times, anyway. Don't you remember when I visited Abraham and Sarah at the Oaks of Mamre? Harry did remember, and recalled how fascinated he had been watching the son personally give the two old believers the news that Sarah would indeed give birth to a son. Yes, and he now recalled even more instances in which God had visited earth to deal more directly with his people. So then Harry said, "And this is no big deal." The son turned quickly serious, moving about the small room as if measuring its interior. "Actually, it is." He stopped before the wall opposite the door. Instantly, a small square opening appeared in the mud brick, and white heavenly light pierced into the dark interior of the structure. This time, Harry, will be quite different. This time I'll be there in the flesh." Horrified at the prospect, Harry felt his stomach twist in revulsion. "Flesh? Oh, it isn't all that bad," Jesus chided. "There are millions of people living that way right now." "Yeah, but they're used to it. You're used to so much better." "But it's the only way it can get done." "What? What would be so important that you'd have to do all that?" The son looked into Harry's eyes in a penetrating way that the angel had never before experienced, and said, "Their redemption. It's time for me to go down to earth and fulfill the law we established long ago." Becoming transfixed by the presence and the son's willingness to sacrifice his own comfort, Harry said in a hushed tone, But in person? Couldn't you do it from up here?" The son moved toward a corner and a small crude stool appeared. He sat down, rested his chin in his hand, and said, "There was a time long ago when we considered that. But you know, Harry, these people need a savior. They really do. They need someone they can see with their own eyes, whose voice and words they can hear for themselves. And they need someone they can touch and feel is really there with them." Having never been assigned to earth, Harry's experience with humans was strictly secondhand. But he was beginning to understand how, because of the type of beings they were, they might appreciate God meeting them on their own level. He turned to the son and said, "They need a Jesus." Jesus nodded. "It's the best way to show them God's love. Put him into flesh." Harry stared out the newly formed window, gazing into the more familiar brilliance that enveloped the tiny hovel. "Okay, I think I can see this. But one thing, and please, Jesus, I don't mean any disrespect. Are these the right people? Is this the right time? As I understand it, the world's a pretty small place right now. And these people have a lot to learn. Things are fairly primitive down there." "It was worked out long ago, Harry. Now's the time." "But is it necessary to give up all this? The throne, the grandeur, the glory, to go where people live like this?" The son answered with a sigh. "It's a small thing, really, to give up my glory for a little while, so that so many others might have it for eternity. But Jesus, you'll be losing who you are, your identity." No, I'm not losing it. Just setting it aside for a while. I'll still be God, only now, for a little while, I'll also be man." "Sounds complicated," Harry said. Yes, yes, I suppose it is, Jesus said, rising from the stool. Nobody ever said it would be easy to save all of mankind. Chapter 2. Just Like Everyone Else. Jesus pulled open the wooden door and held it for Harry to leave the small house. From the compressed dirt floor of the building, Harry expected to step into the familiar, unresisting surface of heaven, but instead found himself standing upon another, even more unpleasant surface. Oh, he blanched, grimacing as his foot sank down into the wet muck. What's this? Jesus laughed. What's the matter, Harry? Afraid of a little mud? Mud? A mixture of water and dirt, Jesus explained. This is what happens to a road in Judea when it rains. Rains? Never mind, Harry. Jesus stepped carefully through the muck until he found a drier path, which he followed down the middle of the roadway that passed between two rows of dwellings almost identical to the one they had just left. Harry tried to keep up, placing his feet carefully along the same path as Jesus, trying to keep his steps out of the unpleasant mud. The light level was dramatically reduced, and his eyes were having a difficult time adjusting. Harry strained to see through the faint light. The seemingly endless rows of drab, mud-colored houses varied only by the dim glow of oil lamps that could be seen through a few of the open windows. Why is it so dark, God? Ah? The sun reminded Harry of his mistake. Jesus, remember? I'm sorry. Yes, I'm having a hard time remembering. Why is it so dark, Jesus? This is what is called night on Earth. It's how it looks when the Earth has rotated out of the sun's path. How terrible for them! And how often does this phenomenon occur? Every 24 hours, of course. Oh, my! No wonder they're in such a terrible state. Not at all. It signals a time of rest for them. Very important for the human body. Since I'll be spending a little time in one, I wanted to get the feel of it early on. This seems like such a drab existence, Harry said, continuing on just behind Jesus. He imagined the impact on the residents when the sun burst upon their community, and his breast swelled with pride, knowing that he, a lowly fourth-rung angel, was playing even a small part in God's preparation. I sure wish I could be there when you make your grand entrance. It'll sure be something to see. Why do you say that? Jesus said, continuing down the street, glancing here and there at the houses painted by the fading light. What? What do you mean? Why, just picture it. The Son of God arrives on earth in all his heavenly glory. There'll be trumpets and cymbals and cheering throngs to greet you when you show yourself to them. Why, they'll be so surprised, so happy that the Messiah has finally come in all your majesty. Jesus turned quickly around, stopping the effervescent angel by the shoulders. Harry, settle down. Listen to me now. It's not going to be that way. Harry gazed up into the eternally patient yet insistent face of the sun. It's not? That's not how humans are born. Born? Harry's gut filled again with revulsion at the thought of that most unseemly human practice. But you're already... Yes, I am. But I must become flesh. And flesh must be born. It doesn't just appear. But, Jesus, isn't the whole idea to make some kind of an impact down there? To actually change the world and its ways? The idea, Harry, is to save lives. The idea is to give people a chance to live with God forever. Okay, right. And I would think the best way to accomplish that is to make a real splash. Give them a display of your power, your might. Really impress them. Harry, you don't know these people as well as you may think. They aren't impressed with splash. You're forgetting about the biggest splash we ever made. Remember when we helped Moses save the people from the clutches of Pharaoh? Why, we split the Red Sea into two parts, revealing the dry land, gave them safe passage between towering walls of water. Talk about an impressive miracle. Jesus gazed sadly around him at the people beginning to emerge from the houses after their small evening meal. Before the water could even fill in the dry channel, they were grumbling and complaining to God. Jesus sighed and spoke with a voice heavy with sadness, yet at the same time filled with overwhelming compassion. No, they may be impressed for the moment, but that's as long as it lasts, a moment. They don't need a parade. They need a savior. Harry was silent, watching the face of the sun as he studied the people around the houses, images momentarily oblivious to their audience. Harry felt the sadness like a great heat coming off the sun's figure and enveloping even him like an uncomfortable woolen cloak. The angel could not bear the weight of God's emotions and stumbled back away from him. Harry still felt he needed to confirm the unbelievable news. Finally, breaking the silence, he said, "So, you'll be born." "Just like everyone else down there," Jesus answered. The angel shuddered and said more to himself than to his companion. "There's got to be a better way." Jesus grinned at Harry, relaxing again. "Oh, and we've already picked out my mother," he said teasingly. Harry, still having a difficult time comprehending all this, remained silent. "She's a sweet girl," Jesus continued, "from Nazareth, a small town very much like this." He swept his arm around to encompass all the streets and dwellings and people around them. "She's engaged to be married to a man from the same town, so I guess that'll be my hometown." Then he repeated the name, as if enjoying the simple act of forming the word between his lips. Nazareth. Their path had taken them to where the rows of houses stopped, where the road broadened into the coarse scrub of the surrounding low hills. Jesus stopped, scanning the horizon, still immersed in thoughts of his new family. "Her name is Mary," he said with quiet delight. "That's a nice name, isn't it, Harry? Her betrothed is Joseph. Mary and Joseph, they'll be my parents." Harry was still wrestling with the mental picture, struggling to place the son in the lowly confines of a humble village such as the one in which they now stood, surrounded by people of low means, such as these that milled about the town's mud streets. He tried to imagine the son as a tiny baby held in the arms of a young girl named Mary. And the idea was so incredible to him that the image kept vaporizing before he could complete the picture in his head. It was just too much for his small mind to comprehend. Harry thought about the girl, her innocence, her fragility, and the amazing idea that she could actually hold God in her two small hands. "Will she know?" Harry asked. "Know what?" "That she's giving birth to the Son of God." Jesus nodded his head. "Gabriel's already told her." Harry was beginning to realize that these humans must be made of tougher stock than he had first imagined. "Must be quite a lot for a young girl to take in," he said. Jesus turned to head back down the street, deeper into the darkening light between the crude hovels. Back to the villagers now preparing to retire for the night. Yes. Yes, I imagine so. Chapter 3. Meek and Lowly. The road bordered by mud brick houses was gone. The mingling people going about their evening business were gone. The whole untidy scene was gone, replaced by the opaque purity of heaven. The uncomfortable sensation of being trapped in a wrong place was leaving Harry as the two walked together upon the more familiar surface of the angel's home. Far in the distance was a dark speck, and Harry wondered if they were perhaps returning to the first dwelling in which he had found the sun. "You're looking forward to it, aren't you?" Harry volunteered. "I'm looking forward to what it will accomplish." "Well, at least your parents, since they know you're the Son of God, will surely give you a suitable lifestyle. Certainly you've selected parents from a priestly or even royal family." Jesus brightened. "Actually, they are of the royal line of David. I'll be meeting them for the first time in Bethlehem, the city of David, and Joseph's hometown." Harry was getting confused again. "But you said they were from Nazareth. That's in the north, isn't it?" "They are from Nazareth. But you see, the emperor down there, right now it's Caesar Augustus, he'll be ordering everyone to return to their family towns to be registered for a census." Jesus grinned at the angel. "See how it's coming together? He's counting heads, so I'll be born in Bethlehem instead of Nazareth. Bethlehem is Joseph's family town, so he and Mary will go there to be counted." "Ah, then they have a second home there." No. "Family to stay with?" "Harry, they're in the royal line, but Joseph is a simple carpenter. An honorable man, but with very little in his purse." The angel was again frustrated by what seemed to him a convoluted logic. Surely, he thought, the best way to get the message out, the best way to accomplish the planned task, would be to place the son into a prominent family, into a situation from which many would hear the message of deliverance. Or if not a highly placed family, at least near someone with a position of authority in Jerusalem, better yet, at the temple itself. "But why a carpenter?" Harry moaned, "when there are so many really important religious leaders in Israel." "Yes," Jesus grimaced, "too many." "Wouldn't any one of them be a better choice?" Jesus answered with a heavy sadness in his voice, with the sound of a father whose children have disappointed him deeply. "You may find this hard to believe," he said, "but most of the problems I'll have on earth will be caused by the religious leaders. They will become the biggest obstacle to people believing in me, and they'll go out of their way to get rid of me." As Harry and the son continued on, the far distant speck had gradually become larger until the angel could see that it was some sort of rough hovel, similar to but also different from the first. This dwelling appeared to have been carved out of solid rock. Instead of standing free like the first, this one was a deep depression in the side of a hill. As they drew closer, Harry saw figures milling excitedly about the crudely arched entrance, craning their necks to see inside. But Harry's mind was still on God's logic in placing the son in a humble peasant family rather than with a more esteemed family of prominence. It still seemed foolish to him. Exasperated, he said, "Will there at least be emissaries present to properly inform the public?" "Yes, in a manner of speaking," Jesus smiled as the pair approached the crowd of people outside the cave. "The shepherds will be close by," he explained, and they'll tell others. Shepherds? Harry squawked. Out in the country? What will you be doing out in the country? Well, Jesus said, the town will be filled with travelers there because of the census. The people smiled happily at the pair and politely moved aside to give them passage. Past the scruffy onlookers, the two stepped just inside the opening, their feet shuffling into the deep mat of brush and straw spread about the floor. Jesus stooped to peer back into the cave's dusty interior. So you see, the only available lodging, he said, will be a stable. Harry was again feeling that nagging sensation in the pit of his belly, the feeling of being in an alien place. The dust-filled air attacked his nose with the sharp stench of aging manure. Around him came the bleating of lambs nuzzling for their place at a teat, and the baritone lowing of placid bovines incessantly chewing their cud. The light was so dim, one small oil lamp supplied the only illumination, that Harry could just barely make out the crouched figures huddled back inside the cave. And on top of everything else, he had a sinking feeling that he had just stepped in something warm and squishy. Harry felt the sun's hand on his arm. He looked up to see the smaller of the two figures before them reach down into the deep hay mounded atop a stone. The young woman appeared to be exhausted, her face worn and ringed by sweat-stringed hair that betrayed some great exertion. That she could hold herself up was a wonder, but she lifted the tiny form to her breast. As the baby found the nipple, the woman smiled down at him and murmured something private and warm. "Who is this?" Harry asked, still uncomfortable in this strange place, yet strangely drawn to the scene being played out before him. Who were these scruffy peasants with their newborn child taking refuge in such a wretched domicile? What sort of person would be so careless and unthinking as to give birth where the beasts were lodged? Surely these folks were the lowest of the low. "I told you, Harry," Jesus said quietly, as if he didn't want to intrude on the moment. "I have to be born." The angel stared up at the sun, stunned. He couldn't believe his ears. "You're telling me that the long-awaited Messiah, the King of Kings, the very Son of God, will be born in a filthy stable?" Jesus chuckled at the angel's not unexpected response. "You make it sound like a bad thing," he said. "Harry, I'm not going to earth to be a member of royalty waited on by his subjects. I'm going down there to be a servant so that I can wait on them."
Thank you for using our Bible study resources. This has been the audio version of our weekly printed session notes. It is copyright 2019. By David S. Lample, but is offered free of charge and may be freely shared. All printed and audio notes are available in the Bible Studies section of our website at dlample.com. This website also includes our monthly devotional, Reflections by the Pond, as well as archives of our devotional publications made available for almost 30 years. Unless otherwise indicated, scripture in this audio file is from the New American Standard Bible, updated edition, copyright Lachman Foundation. Greek and Hebrew citations and definitions are from Strong's Greek and Hebrew Dictionary and the NASB Greek Hebrew Dictionary. All resources, both at our devotional site, dlample.com, and our His Company Christian Drama site, hc.dlample.com, are offered free of charge in acknowledgement of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. For more information about who we are, please visit the About Us page at our website.